Hey, ¿qué pasa, Calexico? Welcome back to the podcast. Today we are here with somebody that I had already met, and he was already briefly on. It was kind of like an episode of the podcast. It was an event that was at San Diego State. He had done a mural with some of his kind of students. Yeah. My guest today is Sergio Ojeda Jr., otherwise known as Taquito on Instagram. Because I asked people around about you, and they're like, oh, yeah, Taquito. I think Roxanne Pacheco was like, oh, yeah, yeah, Taquito. But yeah, my guest today is Taquito, Sergio Ojeda Jr. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Before we talk about, you know, art and everything that you're doing, especially right now with the murals you're doing for this grant that you were part of, tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. So I was born and raised here in the Valley and in Mexicali. I spent most of my K through 12 education here in Calexico. So I grew up here in Calexico, and it's close to Rainbow Park. That's where I went with my grandma's house. I graduated from Southwest High School because I moved to Heber when I was a junior. And then I went to college in Merced because we moved out. Came back and finished my bachelor's in psychology here at SDSU. And then recently during the pandemic, I started my teaching certificate because I had been subbing for a while. So that was my education. I've worked with doing research for psychology for UCLA for a while. I was doing research here in the Valley for teenagers with anxiety, and then with seniors with Alzheimer's and other dementia, other types of dementia. So after that, it's when I started teaching, and I became a tutor. And I really enjoy teaching. So education was one of my passions as well. So I kept subbing for a while. And just recently, it's been like 5 years that I started painting again. And now I changed my career again. This past year, it's been my first year of being an artist full time, a muralist.
Oh, wow. So was teaching or, you know, psychology was something that you always wanted to get into? Or
yes. Well, no, actually not. I started my education in criminal justice. Okay. And I didn't like how, like, the ideologies and I just didn't like how it was presented for me. And it was something that I was not interested towards the end of my 2 years in community college. So I changed it to psychology. I did an extra semester, and because a lot of the classes were similar, and I found out that I really, really liked psychology because of how I studied the mind and the brain, and that really interested me. So when I came here to SDSU, I try to focus a lot on research methods because it's something that I really admired, the scientific method and how scientists developed experiments and how they were at the frontier of knowledge, trying to figure out stuff for all of us. And I wanted to be like that. So that's why I did focus on research, and it was great. I really loved it. I was under Dr. Camacho with Sun Valley Research Center in Imperial. And I was doing, he introduced me to a lot of high tier stuff that I wasn't used to because I was barely doing my bachelor's, and there wasn't much stuff that I could do without a master's. But he took me under his wing, and he's like, this is how it is. And he saw that I had a passion for that research. And so he introduced me to people at UCLA, and that's how I got my job doing research here in the Valley with teenagers with anxiety, kids and teenagers.
You mentioned that now you're a full-time artist.
Yeah.
Growing up, was it something you did, you know, draw a lot or paint? Was it something that was, you know, like a hobby or a passion of yours?
Yeah, I wasn't very good at it. My mom reminds me of these drawings that I did. I did some postcards, I think, for my siblings, for them to like start learning stuff, and so I was doing the drawings, and I guess I didn't spend much time on it, but she kept them because of how ugly they were. So she reminds me, I still have them there. I'm gonna show them out to people. It's like, okay, but yeah, I really liked drawing. I think that it was in eighth grade where I had an art like you could 8th or 9th grade that you could take an elective in at Wheelie, and Mr. Panella was our teacher, because he told us that he did the murals there at Willy Moreno, and he was the one who airbrushed the jerseys the P uniforms. He would put our names on it, and that was like a whole day thing, that instead of doing P, everybody would line up and he would do our names, and that was very cool. And so he taught us different methods in that semester for art, and I realized that I enjoyed it, and I found like little tricks that made me feel good about what I was drawing. And when I was a teenager, I was also doing graffiti in Mexicali with my friends. My parents divorced when I was a teenager, so I went to Mexicali on the weekends. That's where my dad was, and I went through a little rebel stage, I guess, and I had my friends in. We were in Colonia Revolución. That's where my family's house is, and that's where I started like using spray paint. And I was like, okay, I like this. And apart from just doing letters, I started getting interested in like different drawings, and started making like some little characters. And that's how I realized, okay, I want to develop a little bit more of this, not just letters. And when I was in college, I couldn't take art in high school, because it was when I traded school, when I changed to Southwest.
Okay.
And I got there late, so I got choir instead of art, because the art classes were full. But I liked the choir class too. It was cool. It was just guys, and it was like 40 guys, and we were all singing like 60 songs, and it was cool.
Did you guys have any performances?
Yeah, they're at the Southwest Theater. I did a solo. Well, it was a trio. Wow. Because it was three of us, and since then I developed like this like four 60s songs because of our teacher. She would play the piano, and we would make exercises like every day, and then we learned songs to perform, and I liked it.
That's cool.
Yeah. So in college, I took a couple of electives. One was like intro to drawing, and another was I guess history of art, I think it was, or art appreciation, and I really enjoyed it, but I never looked at it as like a career path. It was like it's a hobby for me, and I like it, until recently. There was a switch in me that, after going through my education, I felt that I wanted to show something of it through the arts. I was focused on science for a while, and I still love science and I'm passionate about it, and I want to keep learning, but I also want to teach others through art. And that's why I feel very fortunate to have this grant that I received, because it's focused on a lot of topics that I have been wanting to paint, but like most restaurants, or most of my job much of my work is on private businesses. Mm-hmm. And it's not going, nobody's going to say like, oh, I want you to do a social justice mural for me. Well, it's very rare when somebody wants something like that. So now that I have the opportunity to talk, to portray art that has to do with social justice, with water and energy conservation, and with public health, including mental health, one of my murals will be mental health, I am very, very excited about this.
Did that transition from, you know, teaching and psychology happen because of your, you know, the success of having people want you to paint their murals in their businesses? Or
yes, it had to do with it. Also, the pandemic, it changed my perspective of a lot of things. I did go through that teaching certificate, and I was teaching, but I always wanted to be a professor at a university, not a K-12 teacher. Mm. And since I was on track for that, I just didn't feel like it was something that I wanted to do for the rest of my life while I was teaching. I love teaching. I love subbing. I love the relationship that I had with students. Towards the end of my subbing time, I was mainly at Calexico High School. Okay. So I was subbing there every day, and I got to meet a lot of young people, and seeing how they were about to graduate and go to their careers, and just seeing the diversity of students, although Calexico is not very much diverse, but the diversity of mindsets also and all that.
I think we're mainly Hispanic Mexican here in Calexico, but I mean, there's still diversity in you know, economics and, you know, mental development. You know, there's still kids that are immature, some that are really immature that, you know, have... You talk to kids that ever since like elementary, they already know what they're doing, and you see them and they're super focused in high school as to what they want to do. So yeah, there's a diverse group of kids, and but in different, not only in race or background, you know, there's a huge diversity of kids that they walk. Because I work at Calexico High School. I'm a computer tech there, so you know, I get to see and talk to a lot of kids, and yeah, you see all the different
mindsets that they have.
I
saw it more in Heber, because that's where I did a lot of my teaching at the beginning, a lot of the subbing, and since I was subbing for like 5 years, I saw them grow up practically, and it was cool to see how they were developing. And recently I had career day at Dogwood Elementary.
Okay.
So I went as an artist, and that was it was my first experience at something like that, but I saw a lot of familiar faces with the students, and it was fun to see them again in a different scenario.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that it's important for artists to use their art to, you know, promote your goal is to promote water conservation, mental health, like all these different social issues that that are going around, you know, not only here in the States but, you know, around the world? Do you think it's important for artists to use their platform to promote that?
Yes, but I wouldn't put like pressure on everybody to do it for the sole purpose of promoting certain things, because ideologies change, and also because I've realized that art, one of the things that I really like about art is that it's very free, and it's a way for us to express ourselves, and it doesn't necessarily have to be with the topics that other people might think it's important. It can just be a very personal thing that I want to express myself through my art. And so when it coincides with things that are important, like critical issues that we are going through, like social justice, like that we were talking about, and promoting certain things that we would all like to be promoted, it's very iffy, because some people might be against it, and so I think that it's more subjective than it's for each individual what they would want to do with their art. So yeah, that would be what I think about that.
Yeah, because recently somebody, and I was part of the conversation on Facebook, where somebody posted a picture of, you know, your mural that you're painting, because you're painting a mural on Imperial Avenue right across from O'Reilly's, right?
Yes, it's on Philco.
Okay.
Philco, well, it's a building, it's where the Philco mm-hmm. gas station is.
Used to be Peso Market a long time ago, yeah. So somebody posted a picture, and I guess, you know, when you were kind of like drawing out what you wanted, you kind of tag water, conserve water, blah, 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 right? And people were, you know, they didn't, they're commenting about, you know, how, oh, it's graffiti, oh, and other issues like, oh, it's probably, you know, I can't remember what some of the comments were, but, you know, I saw you in the conversation, and you were like really, like you're somebody that I feel that doesn't let those kind of things get to you. You're like, oh, you know, I can't remember what you posted, but it was something like, thank you for coming, like some way to like kind of like respond but not respond to them.
Yeah, it was, I think I do know the comment that you're talking about. It was a comment that was more on the negative side, and they were trying to, they put it as art under quotations, and I was like, I hope the end result changes your mind. That was what I had, and I put a little gif that I thought was funny of this guy saying it's not much, but it's honest work. So I thought that was a little bit funny, but that So that's called a doodle grid, what I usually do. And I am used to it because it's and I understand it because seeing like a lot of doodles and up in a big wall like that, and like people like, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. They can be confused. Somebody who doesn't understand the process of it. But once they see the end result, it's also like a big contrast, and they're like, oh, okay, I get it, and I see what's going on. Sometimes people are still confused, and it's like, why even start like that? The purpose of that is to do a grid. I don't know if you've seen how artists draw up a grid of like squares. Mm-hmm. For me and my personality, it's always like a hard, it's tedious to measure all those lines and do that stuff. So I figured out through watching other artists that one of the things that they use was a doodle grid, and what happens is you do doodles like whatever you want. A lot of people just do like stars and happy faces, and what the thing that I personally like to do is put a message that has to do with what I'm
like the end result.
Yeah, so with the anime ones, I would put the names of the characters or certain quotes that I liked about the certain characters, and then put that character there. So for this one, I put certain statements and certain facts that were related to water conservation, and people were understandably confused, and some were more outraged than others. But what I really liked, and what when people would comment to me about it, is that there were more positive comments always than negative ones. Mm. And I started seeing how some other people are like people chill. that's a progress. He's going to make it look nice. I'm like, ah, nice. That feels nice. I didn't have to go in there and defend myself. I had people who knew the process, and I didn't know a lot of those people. And I was like, that's so nice. That's cool.
Yeah. Cause I, you know, you mentioned doodling. I've seen artists in TikTok that do that. Like, where they do a big mural, and then like it's like a bunch of words, different words that they use to kind of like measure where they want to, you know, have the end result of, or where they want to put, you know, specific thing on their mural.
Yeah, I first saw it on YouTube. This artist 1000 he was one of the first muralists that I saw on YouTube that I was like, okay, this guy's making it as a living, and I like what he's doing, and I thought like I can do that too, and it's. And I learned a lot from his first videos, and when he was, one of those videos was like a how-to on the doodle grid, and I understood it a little bit more. And what it is like, you put doodles, you get any app, it can be the free ones like to that you use for drawing, for art, and it has layers, so you can put an image in another layer and make the transparency lower, and with that you can see what's under it, and I can guide myself with everything. That's why I can get the proportions so easily and fast, because I don't have to be like stepping back and looking, okay, is that eye where it's supposed to be, because I know that the image is showing me where the eye is starting and where it's ending. And some people see it as cheating. I don't. it's a way to go out there and be more efficient in your work. As practice, at home, I do try to draw without a doodle grid to get better, and I wish I did it more. But for work, I don't want to be experimenting. I don't want to be like, maybe that eye is wonky and it's not looking nice, or those teeth or whatever that I'm drawing. So I want to leave a something that looks nice. So I try to use it as much as I can.
How did you start with the anime ones? Was it something that somebody commissioned or?
No, it was a personal project. One that I had done two murals already in Calexico. One in the same place, which is by 111.
Uh-huh. Yeah, by that little street in between. By if you're going towards the mortuary.
Yeah. And so thanks to my friend Jesus Fino. He had gotten permission to paint in the wall. He just went and locked, and it's like, oh, we can do that. Yes, because it's a private property.
Somebody's home. Uh-huh.
So they said yes, as long as it wasn't anything graphic or political or something religious. And we're like, no, we'll put something else. And well, not too much on the political. I think it was more on the religious part. So. Mm-hmm. Because what I tried to portray was as my first mural here, it was. Just bring awareness on deforestation. And so what I did was a forest and a rainforest,
with certain animals that are endangered, and I put an orangutan with a baby orangutan. I put a proboscis monkey, and all of those animals that were there, I think it's called the sun bear that I put, rhinoceros. They're from different rainforests that are being endangered for deforestation and these big companies that go and take away all their homes and I was trying to raise some awareness through that. A lot of people didn't know, and I just didn't have the social media presence to share it with people. And so after that was that anime mural, the first anime mural that I did there. And so what brought that about was, I was at the high school, and a lot of students were, I saw the difference between when we grew up and how anime was portrayed and how it was accepted. And now it's like it's a way for people to have conversations. Yeah. Like, hey, did you watch this? And I thought that it was very cool. And so I used that a lot to connect with the students, and we would talk about different animes, and they would recommend me different ones. And so I saw that in Monterrey, there was a group of artists, of public artists, that did a big anime mural, and it went viral. And I was like, this is so cool. They got together and they're sharing this, and I really like them. And I was like, that's so cool. And then I saw the same in New York and Los Angeles, and I was like, we can do that here too. And I kept telling my friend Jesus Fino, like, let's do something like this. So he's like, okay, let's do it in that wall that we have there. And it wasn't the biggest wall, but like a lot of people would see that. And it was always very nice to see people like pass by and honk and say like, hey, good job. And I was like, this is motivating. It was a lot. I didn't have any negative comments from that one. And it also became, Roxana told me that it became a Pokestop for the Pokemon Go. Yeah. And I was like, this is so cool. Yeah. And I had like the people liked it, the community liked it. And it's like, okay, I want to do something even bigger, which like I told you, I grew up in close to Rainbow Park, and that long wall. It's like white, and it gets tagged, and then it gets painted over, and I think it looks uglier when they put different patches of yeah. colors, and it's like these bland colors. I would prefer like a well done graffiti piece, a well done like we call them bombs, or not bomba, when they paint, than just seeing a bland wall. That or like public art. So I said, like, I want to put something here that a lot of people can enjoy. And I mixed up I put a little bit of education in it, which was like, it's a history of anime, and I wanted to do the best ones or the most recognized ones of each decade. So a lot of people don't know it because I didn't put it explicitly like a timeline for it. But I started in the 60s, which is where I did a little bit of research on the history of anime. And in the 60s, it's when it started with Astro Boy. There were others before, but I'm not really sure right now. I can't remember at the top of my head why they don't count or why people don't count them. But Astro Boy was like one of the pioneers. So I started with Astro Boy and Speed Racer, which was one that I did grow up watching because they would repeat it in Canal 5 in Mexico. Yeah. So that was, I started with those, and I just kept doing research in order to not be too biased in like my personal likeness of some. I looked up like which ones are the most popular, which ones are best rated, like which ones are considered masterpieces, and that helped me go back and rewatch some and watch some that I had never watched. So I took it as like this little research project, going back to my passion for research. I mixed it up with that, and I wanted to connect not just to like young people, which that first anime mural did. I wanted like older generations to be able to see like, hey, I remember watching that when I was a kid, and just bring a smile to somebody. And fortunately, I received a lot of comments of people saying just that, and I was like, it warms my heart, and it's like, yes, this was the purpose of why I wanted to do this. And I received help from the community. I received help from the person who I was buying my spray paint from, the business. It's from Blazing Heat, and he said like, I told him about this project that I wanted to do. And I was like, all right, man, I'll give you some paints. And he sponsored me with some paints for that specific project. And I was using my leftover paints from other like odd jobs that I was doing to be able to continue it. But at the beginning, it was just donated paint because I didn't work as that. I was a substitute teacher. And so I would save up and I would buy paints for me to go and do this. And then people started seeing like, hey, can you come to my business and paint this for me? And I was like, okay. And the first one was the Vegeta that I painted for Iron Annihilation Gym. And he contacted me through Instagram, and I was like, oh man, this is I will tell my fiance, like, it's happening. they want to pay me to do something like this, and I'm not sure. I wasn't sure how to charge, and I had seen certain videos. I did again look up and see like how other artists do that. I didn't know many people who did art, like the muralists. I still admire a lot of them at the beginning from Mexicali, because I would see all those murals that they did for Colectivo Tomate, and I was like, these guys are pros. they've been doing it for a while, and these are very nice murals, and I want to be at that point sometime. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know them. I just, the only person that I could depend on was Jesus Fino, because he was painting as a career. That was his way of work, and he would tell me like, well, this is what I do, and I was like, okay. And for him, I found a little formula of to do it like per square foot. That's how I developed how I know how to charge. It's like per square foot that has to do with how long it's going to take me to paint something, and how much paint I'm going to use, how much material. So I finished it, and I really, really liked it, how it came out. And then like people started noticing, and they started sharing that.
Yeah, you came viral for a while, huh?
Yeah, it was like, this is so cool.
I think, didn't ESPN share it or something?
Yeah, that's it. So I shared it as a joke that I was never good at sports, but somehow I made it to ESPN, because I used to like soccer and I used to like football and basketball, but I was never good at it.
Yeah.
But I was like, hey, I made it to ESPN somehow.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
yeah, I remember seeing. I was like, damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, I still can't like grasp my mind around it, but it was thanks to Jose Pepe Senpai, who told me like, is it okay if I do a little video for TikTok while you're painting? I was like, yeah, for sure.
Mm.
And at that time, I had finished the Vegeta, and I was doing the aura, the Super Saiyan auras, the lights.
Mm-hmm.
For when people deadlift, and it's very cool to see like those big bodybuilders who were deadlifting behind the thing, and they would take video of themselves, and like, this is so cool. But yeah, he told me like, is it okay? And then I saw that I went viral in his page. I was like, that's so cool. Like, people really like this, and like the nice comments that they would say. I would really love to work out there. And I was like, hey, go to this gym. It's right there. So they contacted him to see if he could give them the video. And it was his video that they shared.
They used, oh, cool.
They shared it a couple of times on Instagram. But for some reason, like after 30 minutes, they would take it down. I don't really know why. Because once they tagged me like, hey, you're on ESPN and Instagram, and I was like about to share it on my stories, and I was very excited. I didn't know what to write, and I was writing something, and when I posted when I tried to post it, it was like something went wrong, and I checked and it was deleted, and I was like, no, I wasn't able to share it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but then after a while they told me like, hey, it's on TikTok now, and they did leave that one up.
Oh, it's
still up, and I was very happy to see that, like, all the attention that I got and what they were saying. I was like, that's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I mean, I was one of my favorites because I'm a huge Dragon Ball fan. That's, you know, my like my go-to anime. I mean, I watch other anime, but that's my favorite of all time. You know, I have a bunch of T-shirts. I have a watch. I have some shoes.
I was telling you before that I like your sticker. Oh, you have sticker. A Super Saiyan 4 Goku sticker there that I really like.
But yeah, Dragon Ball was one of my favorites. So when I saw the Vegeta, I was like, damn, that's badass.
Yeah, and that's one of those, I think, one of those favorite moments in
with Vegeta when he's like, he gives in to, I mean, it's like infamous, like he's this pride person and he gives in to somebody else's power to become more powerful when he became Majin Vegeta. But I really liked how it turned out, and I was like, this is so cool. And recently when I was at career day with the students, a repeated question was, which one's your favorite? Because I showed them like a lot of different murals that I've done, and I would tell them that it's that one. So I always think Michael for he's from the Iron Annihilation.
Oh, okay.
For contacting me and for trusting in me to do that, because it gave me that confidence to like, I can do this and I can keep going and I can do this for a living actually, if people trust me to go and paint in their space. And it's I have it close to my heart because of that. It's like, it's, I have like an emotional attachment to that one. Yeah. That one mural.
Hey guys, sorry for the interruption, but I wanted to take this time to thank my sponsors. I want to thank my longtime sponsors, my friend Camilo Garcia, Eddie Lopez from Roots Creative, and my friend Jake. Thank you guys for being longtime sponsors of the podcast. I also want to thank my friends who sponsored the podcast in 2022. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate your sponsorship. And if you want to become a sponsor, you can go to anchor.fm/quepasacalexico, hit the support button, and you can sponsor the podcast from 99 cents a month to $10 a month. It really helps me a lot to make this podcast better, sound better, look better, and reach out more people by promoting the podcast in social media and other websites. So if you want to become a sponsor, make sure to go to my Anchor page, and I'll leave a link in the description of the show. So thank you so much. And now back to the show.
So when you plan out a project, you normally use, use that an app and doodling to kind of frame out where you want to do it, or how what's your process when you get hired for a job?
So when I get hired, people already have in mind kind of like what they want, and sometimes they have a specific image, like, I don't want any changes to this, I want just this. So I use that image, and I go and measure their wall, and I take pictures of where it's going to be, and I use those pictures to put them in my drawing app, which is Procreate, in my tablet. And I start tweaking the design to make it fit to their space, and that's how I do it. Sometimes they do ask for an original drawing, so I come up with an original concept that goes into their wall. There is a price difference for those, because I do ask people to,
it takes time to
create something. And
especially like say you draw something and they don't like it, there's tweaking, there's more time involved
So after a while I figured out that it's something that I need to be upfront at the beginning about this and tell people that there is a fee that is non-deductible. So when I do a drawing, sometimes the murals like don't end up happening, and that time that I is invested in those drawings, because I do go back and forth with, hey, can you change this, can you tweak this? And after a couple of times of like feeling like, oh man, all that time that I could have done with that I didn't spend on these other things, it's like I need to find a way to do it. So what I do is I ask for a small percentage of the total price for it. And if the mural goes through, then it's gonna be just
part of the fee.
And if it doesn't, it's, well, that's my like little deposit
that I'm assuming that even like, is that something that tattoo artists do, like where they ask for a fee if they're gonna do like an original? Would you rather do an original or do something that they already have in mind, like a specific thing that they want?
I would rather do an original, and I love it when people say like, yeah, you're the artist, you can come up with something. Like, yes. It goes back and forth in the feeling like, oh, it does. I do feel nervous sometimes where like it's too much freedom and I don't know what to do. So I have pros and cons for both, and at the end, I do prefer more to do something original and to try to come up with something different. But when I was hearing this word original, I have this. I don't really know if anything is original, because we take from others. And it's like something that it's very hard to
I think it's very rare when somebody comes with an original idea or original drawing. I don't think it's non-existent, but it's very, very rare. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't consider a lot of my art or any of my art being original. It's just something that I try to express through it. And when it's something that they already have, it's more convenient because I can do it faster and I don't have to spend time in drawing, and I don't have to have the sense of is it nice, are they gonna like it, because it's what they wanted and they already had that in mind. So there's things for both that I can like.
And talking about original, something that came to mind right now was AI, you know. What are your thoughts on, you know, all this?
It's been changing a lot. First it was something that I was thinking, like, because I'm all for the progress of science, and if we can find AI, I saw how AI is doing like great stuff for biology and for other fields in science, as it could also help in art. And then I started seeing a lot of people bring up that, like, it's a way of stealing from others, like these people who are putting up their art and they're working for it, and then there's this other business, because a lot of the times it's a business that owns this, is profiting out of doing something like this, and that's where it gets very muddy.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you look at it philosophically, like we artists, we're also stealing from others. Mm-hmm. Like we're getting inspiration from other people, and everybody does this, and we've been doing it for years and generations, and so AI is doing the same. It's getting inspiration from like all this art that's available to it, and it's creating something that from something else. So when it gets muddy for me, it's when a specific business is profiting from this and the artists are not getting their share. Mm-hmm. And when they're not being recognized for it.
Yeah.
Or even like recognition is something that it's also important, not even like monetary, but the recognition, like they did that.
Yeah.
So but yeah, it's very muddy. I don't stay, I try not to be too
not to a point like where you,
yeah, too much on either side of the elections. I know that there's a spectrum of things, and it's not just black and white. So
uh-huh.
with a lot of other things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because, you know, you see a lot of these drawings that are done by AI, and, you know, they're really cool. But I think what kind of like what I didn't like was when I heard that somebody had you know, created something with AI and then took it to like a competition, and I think I want to say they won, and then later on they find out that he didn't really make it. You know, it was done by AI. So, you know, things like that. You know, you mentioned, you know, profiting or you know, taking advantage of the science or the technology.
Yeah,
too.
I see how that can be looked at as being unfair, but then a lot of people would say that about digital drawing as well. Like, it's easy because they're just putting the colors in there, and it's not a real drawing. It's not real art because it's digital. But we've progressed into seeing like it's its own art. It's its own type of art. Mm. And so
yeah, because at the end of the day, you know, they might not be painting it, but they created it, and, you know, they drew it, and they might have. I mean, it's digital, and they're not actually drawing. Well, I mean, some do draw, but it's something that they thought of. They, you know, it's something that came out of their imagination, their thoughts, you know.
Yeah, I think that's something, again, that's very fun about art, and funny too, like when you see those competitions where this very ugly drawing, but it's funny, it's like a meme, wins against like a very hyper realistic drawing that somebody spent a lot of hours doing it. And it's just a value that people place on different types of art. So there had to be some input into that program for that person, that individual who did that digital drawing. So he had to come up with something to tell the AI to create something else. So that in itself can be considered as a type of creation that he did. He was being creative with that. It's just how much value you place into something like that is what matters. And just
now that we know more about it, there are competitions that you need to be like upfront. Like, this is AI created art, and I do see, like, if somebody is not upfront with it, it's like I feel kind of iffy about it, because I would like to know, because like it's developing so much that sometimes you can't recognize if it is or not. So
yeah. So let's see, we're almost at 40 minutes. But I really wanted to talk about the grant you're part of, because you're actually the second person I talked to that is part of the grant.
Nice.
I spoke to Fernando Reza. He was a part of the grant. So tell us a little bit about the grant. I know we talked about the mural that you're doing on, you know, the old Peso Market wall. You said that's almost done. It should be done maybe tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Monday. That was my deadline, and I was excited about maybe finishing it before, but the wind and the rain didn't let me do much progress. But I still will finish by Monday, hopefully. And this art grant comes, it's called FSBN, Far South Border North, and it's something that is funded by California Arts Council, I think, and at the end, Prebis Foundation give a little fraction more to add to it. It's being organized by different levels of like Catalyst from San Diego is part of it. It's San Diego Arts and Culture are part of it. Locally, the 15 or most of the artists that are from Imperial Valley are under the Ivy Food Bank hub. So it's our social hub where we go and we meet, and they've been very helpful in organizing everything so that, and making it easy for us to know, like, okay, to keep up with our timelines and to organize ourselves and do everything. Mm. So they've been very helpful, because this is a first of its kind grant. It's like a pilot grant it has never been done. They decided, like, we want to give money to artists to employ them to go and to create art, and we want it to be for a purpose, and we want it to be for these three main topics, which were social justice, water and energy conservation, and public health. So those were the three that I chose.
Okay.
So it's five in total. Civic engagement as well, and right now I'm blanking out. I forgot the other one, but you can go to farsouthbordernorth.com and look more into the details. Mm-hmm. You can see all of the 60 artists there. 45 are from San Diego, and 15 are from the valley. Mm-hmm. So if you want to know more details about it, you can go there and find it out. But I applied with telling them that same thing that I told you, that it's something that I really want to be able to do, to go out and make a series of educational murals for the valley, because having that teacher in me, I saw it as like my classroom growing. It's not just a classroom inside a school. Now I see it as a whole Imperial Valley, or whoever goes through it, as like, okay, I'm trying to teach something to others. And it's intergenerational, so now it's not just K-12 students, it's adults and senior citizens. So I wanted to do something that I could like pay back to the community and share what I have gained through my education and through this project. And I guess they liked that, and they chose me as one of the artists to go out. And so my campaign was to do five murals around Imperial Valley, and I will focus on social justice, water and energy conservation, and public health. Heber is next. That's where my next mural will be, and it's going to be in Tito Huerta Park.
Okay.
We're still finding out exact dates, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be from the 18th to the 1st of March. From the 18th of February to the 1st of March. I'll be creating a flyer. I'll be sharing it with the community. Something good about being able to go to career day and being in contact with them, and having worked at that district, is that I know they know me, and I reached out to say, like, I want to be able to invite kids for this one. Like, I want this to be more for the kids, because it's going to be at a park that students and the kids go to either have fun or to do sports. My son was in soccer, so we would practice there, and
I would see the snack building and the restrooms that it's just with like cement blocks. It doesn't have primer. It doesn't have anything. So I wanted to go and put some color in it and make it nice for the kids. And I want them to be involved in the process. So I would like for parents to go and take their kids to paint with me. And it's something that I'm sure that they'll be happy about it. And whenever they go and say, hey, I was proud of that.
Yeah.
And that's what I really like about this, opening it up to the community and this other mural in Calexico. It's the first time that I do something like this. I always try to invite people like, hey, you can come and paint. And people who show some interest, like I would love to be able to paint. Like, hey, you can come with me and I can teach you like what I know, the basics of it. But now it's more with the purpose and I have been lucky enough that people are showing up and like.
Yeah, I saw that some Calexico High School kids showed up last weekend.
Yeah, they contacted me. Jen contacted me from APYL. Hope I said it right. I always get the letters mixed up. It's a club in Calexico High School, Asian Pacific Youth Leadership, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking like it's just gonna be a couple of them that are going, and I think there were 16. Oh, I was like, oh wow, okay. And I put all of them to do something, and it was cool because I didn't have enough paintbrushes at the moment, but I didn't need paints to be mixed. And I was asking like for volunteers, like, are you comfortable mixing this? And they're like, I'll never mix. I'll just tell you. But they were brave enough to mix the paints, which is something that can be intimidating. And I was telling them like, don't worry about it. This is gonna be. It was browns. They were mixing browns, so we were going back and forth with the lighter tones and darker tones. And they really helped out because like we filled up more. Of the spaces that hadn't been filled up, and that was very nice to see all of the students working there. And
yeah, I think that you know something I constantly mention is that when you have people helping out with something like that, like a mural, like it's that's in a wall that often gets mistreated, like tagged or whatnot. If you get people ownership, they'll keep an eye on it and they'll feel proud. And if they see something or somebody trying to do something to it, you know, they'll speak out and kind of stop so that it stays beautiful and nice looking, you know, for longer than you normally it does when somebody does like some kind of mural or something.
Yes. And it brings up like this involvement of the community and they feel like they can also express themselves and just be more related to it. I have noticed that there isn't like any bridge between graffiti writers and the rest of the people in the community, that it's usually seen as something negative.
Mm-hmm.
So what I think and what I found out in other scenarios is that if we give a safe place for them to like, you know what, let's make this wall open for graffiti writers. You can come and do graffiti. When they do it with time, when they have that permission, and when they can feel respected, like okay, they let me do this, and there'll always be vandalism, some sort of graffiti that is considered vandalism. But I'm sure that can decrease a lot of the problems that other people have. Like oh, they tagged it up already, and now we have to go and spend money from taxpayers for them to go and cover it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it, at the end, it still looks ugly because it's like this patched up wall that I said. For me, it's more of an eyesore than seeing a graffiti piece. And,
yeah.
And so also I'm biased because I started with graffiti, like I said, but.
No, but I mean, there's a lot. Recently I went to, not recently, but right after the pandemic, I went to Santa Ana. And some of their alleys, you know, they had a lot of the bombs, like you call them, like a lot of like graffiti that is, like you said, like time span, you know, well planned out, that, you know, looks really good. And I feel that if people are given the chance, they could make something that the community would not see as vandalism.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And I'm all for it. And I would love for people who do graffiti to have a place. And I try to paint where like I try not to paint over graffiti. That's one of the things that I try not to do, because I try to find a wall that even like that's patched up, because I see like, okay, this place is gets tagged up over time, and they're constantly worrying about that. And if I can do a mural here, it's like in between. It's something that people can respect and like. And I would like to mention that I feel very fortunate that anime murals have not been tagged up. And I see that sometimes people have some sort of beef with others, and they go and they tag over it, and I feel very honored that hasn't happened to me. And I know that it might be inevitable sometime, mm-hmm. But I feel happy that doesn't happen. And I guess it has to do with that I don't and go and disrespect others, even if it's graffiti writers. And sometimes like it's inevitable. This mural that I did, that I'm doing in Imperial, had one and right in the middle that I couldn't just go around it, so I did paint over it.
Uh-huh.
But it is a good selling point to tell people that when there is a mural there, it's less probable that it'll be tagged up, and it's gonna be look nice, and it's gonna enrich the community, and so there's lots of pros that go with it, and that's why I really like doing this. And so yeah, I think that there's a space for everything. There's a space for regular walls, there's a space for graffiti, and there's a space for public art, that like murals that I like to do. And I think that we could share it and appreciate all of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sergio, we're at 50 minutes. I've been trying to keep it like half an hour, 45 minutes, but no, it's okay. It's good because I used to go like an hour over an hour, but I think 45 to an hour is a good like a sweet spot. But before we go, where can people follow you? You know, check out your art, maybe you know, contract you for any you know murals. Where can people look you up and stuff like that?
Thank you for letting me do this. It's so at taquito.11. It's where I have my Instagram. And
Taquito
my,
with a K.
Taquito with the K. Yeah. Yes, because a lot of people put the QUI, which is understandable. But yeah, Taquito with the K, .11, and that's where I'm most active on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I'm barely trying to figure out TikTok. I was late into it, and Instagram is where I usually contact more people about it, but. That's my email as well, sojedataquito@gmail.com, taquito with the K as well. And that's where you can contact me to figure out what else we can do. So if you can go and look at my art and look at what I'm doing, please and thank you.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that's where you're going to put the flyer for Heber or your next mural.
Yes, that's what I'm going to share. I hope that other people can share it as well. And that's where I've been getting a lot of the attention for this mural, but I also go out and hand out flyers and take it to places where I know that people are going to see it. But yes, at in the Instagram account is where I'm doing everything, like where I'm showing all the progress of this and all the process.
Okay, yeah. Sounds good. So yeah, follow him on Instagram. I'll put links to his Instagram on the description of today's episode. Yeah, I'll probably share some of this stuff as well on my Instagram so that people can follow him.
Thank you.
And thank you once again. We finished right on time. Your son's over here taking a little water break. He's tired. But yeah, thank you so much for listening, guys. I know I've been, you know, a little MIA for a little bit, but I've been kind of busy. I'm taking a class after 17 years of not going to school. I'm taking a class. So getting into the hang of going to school. No, well, I mean, I'm not going. It's online, but even that in itself is kind of hard. You know, I was used to going to a classroom and learning. Now I'm on the computer, which is it's really convenient, but it's kind of hard, like for me to take, you know, when I'm home and I'm doing other things, to you know, to make myself take that time.
Yeah, take it seriously.
And focus.
Yeah. I get it. But congrats on going back. I always respected when I was in college, when I was like the first time when I was 18, 19, when I would see 50, 60 year olds or just 30 year olds who were going back into, and now I'm one of those, but who are going back. It's like, it takes, they have a whole life that they're doing. They have other responsibilities and it takes a lot to take that step. So congrats.
Mm. Oh, thank you.
Continue.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me. It's been an honor and it's exciting to see what's to come.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening or watching, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.